G'day sports fans, I am back on a Friday arvo with a beer in hand, talking a bit of fantasy footy and NBA tidbits ahead of the rest of round six. One game in the books already that I'll touch on briefly. I'll talk a couple of the trade targets and of course give you some rookie information. Like I said, there's a few NBA headlines I want to get to. Jonte Porter is now banned for life. The Golden State Warriors are out of the playoffs. So a couple of things that I want to touch on. I did consider doing this podcast last night, but I prioritised having beers with my mates, Roy, Calvin, and Warnie. Sue me. I'm sorry this is going up a day later, but I'm back. Friday arvo. I've got your bet for the weekend. Gone a bit rogue. Not rogue, but I've played it a bit safer, trying to maximise a winning ticket here rather than a couple of losing bets that I've been handing out. So let's not waste any more time and dive into the meat of the sandwich. I'm going to start with basketball. It will be a lighter episode today, but there are a few headlines from the NBA that I want to touch on. The first one is the Golden State Warriors, who were knocked out by the Sacramento Kings in the 9-10 matchup. And as a result, there's a lot of ifs and buts and whats to facing the Golden State Warriors this offseason. We know that they're a really expensive team. They've committed a lot of salary to a lot of different dudes. They've paid their stars and kept them in Warriors uniforms for years now, but they might not do that. The Klay Thompson extension or re-signing will hang over this club for the entire offseason, and it might define their offseason, but I don't want to talk about that too much. I want to talk about Draymond Green because he really fucked him, man. Like, this is not obvious. This is obvious, and everyone knows that Draymond Green's suspension and the issues that he had meant that Golden State had a 10 seed rolling into the postseason this year. But let's talk about what happened when Draymond was out of the lineup. There was five games where he was suspended. I'm pretty sure it was for the Yusuf Nurkic hit, elbow, punch, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And in that stretch, the Warriors went 2-3, right? Then in the 16 games that he missed around the December-January mark, Golden State went 8-8. So a 10-11 record in the 21 games that they missed there really did kind of put the nail in the coffin for Golden State. As I said earlier this week, I didn't have a lot of confidence in them making a deep run, but I kind of like the way that their roster's constructed. It's very tough for NBA teams to toe the line between two generations when you have a dynasty and you have a championship caliber roster fueled by the likes of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. You want to keep them in-house for as long as possible. And some of their young dudes I actually like. I think Brandon Podziemski's a great role player. Trayce Jackson-Davis had some solid moments this year. And there are a couple of pieces that the Warriors have that I think when these superstars of the Golden State franchise do eventually depart and retire and hang up the boots, then they're going to be in an okay position. So Golden State actually won 66% of the games that Draymond Green played this year. So if they had have extrapolated that over a whole season, they would have been the 3 seed and that would have been good for a 54-win season. Now, I think that they could push for a 50-win season next year and be a top 6 spot. And I think that they might have one more run left in them. Steph Curry had to shoulder a shitload of work this year. And the extension that they gave Andrew Wiggins really has hamstrung this team financially. Like I said, they're the most expensive team in the league. It's going to be hard to see how they justify paying everyone and keeping it together to maybe get themselves out of the play-in. You want to obviously have higher aspirations if you're paying a shitload of luxury tax, etc. But they also are missing their first round pick this offseason. It belongs to Portland unless it jumps up into the top four, which I can't really see happening. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with Klay Thompson. Obviously, Golden State fans will want to see him retire as a Warrior. I kind of do as well, to be honest. From a like sentimental purpose, it would be cool to see Steph Curry, Klay, and Draymond Green all finish their careers together. But if you're Klay Thompson, is that the best way to possibly end your career? Could you seek one more little mini pay bump here and maybe sign with another contender? I know Dallas is a name that's been floated out there. The Lakers are always going to be an active team. Maybe that's the route he goes down. Maybe even joins, I'm trying to think of an Eastern Conference team, someone like the Knicks, right? Like if you swapped out Bogey and Alec Burks and you put in Klay Thompson to that New York Knicks lineup, it'd be pretty interesting to see Jalen Brunson kicking out to an open Klay Thompson. So that is going to be a fascinating watch. The other NBA thing I wanted to touch on, like I said, Jonte Porter is banned for life. Now, if you haven't heard all the ins and outs of this, I'm sure they're easy to find. I won't unpack it a lot, but he essentially bet on the Raptors to lose in games while he was in the G League. This is definitely one of those scenarios where you don't want to bet on yourself. He did collude with another bloke to put money on his unders for all his prop bets. And then he ended up claiming he was ill, in quotation marks. And I think an 80 grand bet would have cashed him 1.1 million. So instead of getting that huge payout, he got caught and now he's out of the league. And I think there's some people saying he should have been banned for 5 years. I saw Charles Barkley trying to defend the man, and I get it. But Adam Silver also pointed out that there's a cardinal sin that Jonte Porter committed. And this just stamps out there's going to be no fuckwithery around betting in the NBA from a player's perspective. I know that there's a lot of people who don't know the history of Timmy Donahue, former NBA ref, who was betting on games, and I don't think he technically got charged with anything. But the point I'm saying is that with the growing market for sports betting in the US, I think that especially around the NBA and a lot of their other pro sports teams, you can't be having any gray areas around what the penalty is if you get caught. So I actually credit Adam Silver for this. He's just gone whack. Sorry, mate, you fucked up. You're not playing in the NBA anymore. And there could be more findings still to come. I don't think we're going to see any other players suspended or banned as a result, but it'll be interesting to see exactly how Jonte Porter colluded with other people and if there are other NBA personnel involved. But yeah, credit to Adam Silver for just smacking Jonte Porter out of the league, because that shit will not fly. Lastly, let me spend 30 seconds talking about the play-in matchups for the eighth seed. The Butler injury sucks for Miami. And obviously on the other side for Chicago, Alex Caruso is a bit banged up and hurt now. I think Chicago has the capability to beat Miami in this matchup for the eighth seed. And I think I'm going to pick the Bulls to win. Kobe White's in hot form, had a career high 42 against the Hawks, who also are probably done with Trae Young. So that'll be another offseason storyline to watch. So if they had Jimmy Butler still in the lineup, I might side with Miami, but it's not the same Heat team that we saw go on a massive run last year in my eyes. The Kings and the Pelicans are going to be the other team fighting for an eighth seed. A bit of whatever. I don't think either of these teams are going to beat OKC, but I did say earlier in the week that I thought they would beat the Lakers in the seven matchup, and then the Lakers would claim the eighth seed. So I'm sticking with the Pels to win this one. It's a bit of a bummer that Zion's also hurt, has a hamstring injury, and that may keep him out for some time and some of the playoff series if they do get through. But I think that the Pels and the Lakers were the teams that I had the most confidence in taking the last two spots out west. So I'll just flip my order and back Nola in to beat Sakto. Not a lot of AFL tidbits and news that I want to get to. I was going to do a big Luke Beveridge talk point, but the Doggies actually got a 10-goal win last night, so that puts them in good stead. From a fantasy standpoint, that game was a bit of a letdown. We had players like Rowan Marshall, Isaiah Wanganeen-Miller, Jack Steele. Bont managed to save his score with a massive second half, but a lot of our big names and our trusty players didn't really get it done. Riley Bonner, you can't be upset with an 83. I think he scored off the dome, so there's a lot of coaches who have already had probably three or four players contribute, but a lot of those big names are also probably 30 points under the points that we would have liked to see. Shout out to Jack McRae, who looked like himself again with a massive 129 from 30 touches. I think we have to kind of wait and see what it looks like with Libba back in there and if Riley Sanders is going to be the sub or not next week. But again, shout out to the Doggies. That was impressive. And it transitions a little bit into talking fantasy bits and pieces. So a lot of coaches this week are toying with the idea of going a double downgrade or swinging for that big upgrade. And if you're going for a big upgrade, it's some people chasing Sam Flanders. It's a lot of people bringing in Sammy Walsh. It's looking at maybe an Errol Goulden, Harry Sheezel or Isaac Heaney for the coaches that missed those two. But I still think that a double down this week with best of 18 on the field is the right way to go. You're going to have a lot of cash in pocket. Hopefully you were someone that pounced on Hugo Garcia last night. He was number two in my rookie rankings that I dropped on Patreon yesterday. Make sure you are a Patreon subscriber to see the Thursday rookie targets before the Thursday night games in the future. But the point I'm making is there are a couple of other rookies that I don't hate. Blake Drury is an interesting one. I don't have a lot of confidence in him, as I've said multiple times since he had 101 points against Geelong, but he's my top rookie target for this week, excluding, of course, the Gold Coast boys, Will Graham and Sam Closey. Most people will have Closey in their side and are toying with the idea of going someone like Graham or having the extra cash and going Drury. It's a pretty defensible move, to be honest, to miss Will Graham. I do think that last week was overs what he scored. He'll be closer to the 60-70 point range moving forward, but 60-70 points is nothing to be sneezed at. Guaranteed cash gen that you're going to get from Blake Drury, though, is pretty hard to pass up. And that's why I put him at number one at the moment. It's given me very similar Harvey Thomas vibes, right? Like he had 100 against West Coast. Then we saw him drop a score in the teens and he was subbed out. But then he bounced back and had an 80 the week after. So I do think that there's meat on the bone if you want to try and target Blake Drury. I think that he can be a serviceable cash cow in the forward lines. And if you want to go for someone like Biggie Nguyen, I keep saying his name wrong every time I pronounce it. Biggie Nguyen, I'm pretty sure is how you go. But there are, like I said, you can go for him. You can go for Drury. Hopefully you got Garcia last night. There are a couple of downgrade options. Will Graham type even. Maybe you miss Sam Closey and you want to go there. There's nothing wrong with targeting those boys. When we're talking upgrades, though, if you do want to go one up, one down, coaches maybe like myself who had a bit of cash in hand, you can trade out Colby McKercher. There's nothing wrong with that. And he's the one that I'm axing this week to bring in Sam Walsh. I was tempted to target Errol Goulden and I have considered it, but getting Garcia meant that I didn't have enough money to go for someone like Errol and I have to settle for Walsh. But I wouldn't also be shocked if the Suns give Sydney a run for their money this weekend. So Walshy is probably the prime upgrade target for mine. There's also nothing wrong with grabbing someone like Nick Dacos. Now, I know the Port Adelaide matchup on paper doesn't sound great, but it's fair to say that Collingwood have underachieved so far this year. So has Dacos. And I'm expecting big things from him at the MCG tomorrow. So I'm backing in Dick Nacos as a good pick. Sammy Walsh is another great one in the midfield. And in the forward line, if you don't have a Sam Flanders type and you've got the cash to do that, then pull the trigger. So my moves this week, I went Caleb Windsor down to Garcia last night, and then I actually played Garcia on my field over Darcy Wilson. So that helped me bank a couple of points there conveniently. That gave me the coin essentially to go Colby to Sam Walsh. And I did consider chopping Riley Sanders instead of Caleb Windsor or instead of Colby, but I did want to see if Riley Sanders, A, got onto the field a bit earlier and was able to hit his break-even points-wise, or B, he might get forward status still next week. Jaden Papowski, I think, said that the metrics are steering towards him potentially picking up forward status. And if he does, he'll be a very convenient and handy tool to utilize. Obviously, there's nothing you can do about it now if you did trade him out. But if you held on to him, there could be some rewards on offer. He only scored 22 points in his 24% of game time, which is a bit of a bummer. So he's going to lose cash. But I still think he has access to 70, 80 points most weeks that he's playing a full game. So I'm going to be holding Sanders for a little bit longer. I did have the VC on Jack Steele, and that didn't fire. So I'm going to be backing in Walsh on debut to thrive against GWS. I thought about being weird and going for Hayden Young against West Coast, but I think the Eagles will put up a bit of a fight against Fremantle. And I do think that Sam Walsh's Carlton Blues, spoiler alert, will lose this matchup against GWS. But I still think he's going to get a shitload of points. Played a decent time on ground percentage last week. I don't think he'll be subbed out. I could be wrong. It's happened once or twice before, but yeah, I like the looks of Sam Walsh this week. So I'm going to be rolling the C on Sammy on debut. The sports bet of the week. Let's try and actually get some funds generating in the right direction, eh? I know that I picked a couple of legs in the past that have been closer to even odds, and then combining them all together gives you about 8-1 odds. It's not actually usually how I do sports bet hunts. So let me instead flip the script and put you behind the curtain, have a little peek at how my sports betting brain operates. I like to usually combine a couple of disposals for players from different games or just bet the game head-to-head outright. So I did have a look at GWS and Carlton. GWS still outsiders for that game, which kind of surprised me a little bit. I think that these two teams are probably the best two teams in the league at the moment. But I still think the Giants are going to keep their winless streak alive and that they're going to get the job against the Blues, done against the Blues. So 2-1 odds you've got for GWS beating Carlton. So I will probably be having a little side flutter on that. But I've also thrown in there Connor Rozee to get 25 touches against Port Adelaide. I think he is Port's best player. He's going to be running amok at the MCG. So that's about $1.40 roughly. So you combine those two together, you get almost 3-1 odds. So I'll be putting a little bit of cash down on GWS to beat Carlton and Rosie to get 25 or more disposals against the Magpies. So good luck gambling if you're going down the similar route, and remember to always gamble responsibly. Like I said, short fire episode. I'll be back on Monday night recapping everything that happens in round 6. Good luck with your trades out there, fantasy coaches. Hopefully your team is in a bit of a better position than mine. I'm sitting at about 13K now after yesterday's games, but as I importantly discussed earlier in the week, you can't look too much into your rank as the weekend unfolds, because a lot of things will happen. And there's some coaches who probably still haven't even made their trades and bits and pieces. So like I said, Walshy on debut as the skipper. Let's hope that that works. Again, good luck to the coaches out there as we gear up for the final best of 18 round before a bit of fantasy normalcy returns in round 7. And more excitingly, we get all the new dual position players. As always, I do appreciate you listening to this episode, and I will catch you next time.